The economy has been struggling for so long. The release of the government's monthly jobs report has turned into a somber ritual. But April's report, which came out yesterday, brought good news.
Okay, breaking news. The jobs numbers are a big story this morning.
288,000 jobs created.
The unemployment rate drops down to 6.3%.
Now, if you look out your window, you're not likely to see people dancing in the streets. Unemployment fell so sharply in part because 800,000 people dropped out of the labor force. Employers say there are still some jobs out there, and they're having a hard time filling them because the workers lack essential skills. And that's our cover story today, Bridging the Skills Gap. Of course, behind all those government statistics, there are real people, like Ricardo Coros. He's been a truck driver for years, but for him, the golden ticket would be working in an oil refinery. That shouldn't be a problem. There are 7 oil refineries operating right here in the L.A. area, but it's not so simple.
I didn't know how to get into a refinery.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it takes 3 years to get into the refinery itself. I didn't know the first step. There's online applications you can do, but out of all the emails, I don't think people are going to call you back unless you know somebody, a cousin or uncle, and I don't.
We'll get back to Ricardo in a bit, but first, more on the skills gap and his potential employers. The easiest time to get hired at a refinery is during what's called a turnaround. That's when they have to shut down for routine maintenance. Now, every second a refinery is shut down, money flies out the window. So companies want to do the turnaround as fast as possible. That requires hiring hundreds of people. But those workers require specific skills and need to hit the ground running. Here's Steve Martinez. He has to hire people to staff these turnarounds.
They need to have specialized training, particularly in safety protocols. And, of course, a lot of your general population, particularly looking for blue-collar work, are not going to have those requisite skills.
Martinez is in charge of West Coast hiring for a company called Veolia. Refineries hire his company to help with these turnarounds. He's mostly looking for what are called middle skill positions, jobs like safety attendants who watch to make sure everything is running smoothly and safely, hydroblasters, those are workers who clean out the inside of oil tanks, and special on-site truck drivers. All of these positions pay about $14 or $16 an hour and require special training and credentials. The jobs are grueling, and although Veolia has a good safety record, they're a lot more dangerous than working at Starbucks or Target. But the economy has been so bad that every time companies in the region would post a job, they'd get hundreds, even 1,000 applications. And even still, they were having trouble. Here's Martinez again.
We have recruited in the past from all sectors of the market, job market. We've seen a lot of candidates coming from different industries, but we still suffered with folks that were lacking some basic skills that we assumed, you know, the general population had a grasp on. We have found, you know, probably more cases than not that some of the employees that we've had lacked a certain level of computer skills, reading skills were low, and retention skills were low.
That right there is the skills gap. The Workforce Investment Act and other government programs are supposed to fill in that gap by helping to train workers, but often they don't work. A report from the Government Accountability Office back in December found that a full 80% of job training centers reported employers approaching them for help filling positions, but leaving empty-handed. That's exactly what Steve Martinez was seeing for years.
Because we weren't finding the right candidates to fill these positions, we were importing them from other parts of the country, you know, from our other locations, like in the Gulf of Mexico, in the Texas area. We'll import them, we'll house them, you know, we'll pay per diem for them. That gets expensive.
The Chevron refinery in El Segundo has a big turnaround coming up, but now they're looking for workers closer to home. Just outside of L.A., I join a couple dozen people who are training to be safety attendants during that Chevron turnaround and others going on this year. It's a group of men mostly, although I do see one woman among the trainees. They gather in clusters around 3 hands-on stations.
Give me the basic PPE that you're required to have on as a safety attendant.
Your hard hat.
That's Ken Akbar. He's drilling one of the trainees on the necessary PPE, that's personal protective equipment.
Okay.
And your 4 gas meter.
Okay, and a reflective vest or a fluorescent vest because of high visibility, right?
Right, orange.
Ken Akbar is pointing now to a row of fire extinguishers, and beyond that, a big dark platform that contains a pool of liquid with a metal structure in the center.
What I want you to do is take that fire extinguisher and get over there. You're going to do a visual inspection of it to make sure your equipment is good. And then once you're comfortable that it is good, you're going to walk over and position yourself strategically where you think is best you need to be to put this fire out.
Okay.
When you're ready, just say ready, and then I'm going to light it for you.
The instructor flips a switch, and a fire flares out from the center of the platform.
Fire, fire!
The trainee takes a confident stance near the fire, not too near, and douses it with the extinguisher. He has it put out in about 10 seconds.
Good job.
Although it's entry level, it's a very important position.
This is Jason Vogel. He's the architect of this safety attendant training program.
Because if the safety attendant doesn't show up, well, then the craft workers can't work. So the welder, the carpenter, the pipe fitter, all those guys can't go in unless the safety attendant is there, and they still get paid. So
Vogel used to teach classes for the Occupational Safety and Health Administration at a nearby university. A few years ago, he heard about companies like Veolia shipping in refinery workers from the Gulf Coast and thought he could do better. He partnered up with a group called the Occupational Safety Councils of America, or OSCA, and asked the refineries directly what they were looking for.
The program was built from industry. We didn't build it and hope it met their standards. We had them build it, so we knew it met their standards.
Here's the other key part of the OSCA training. The program is set up under the umbrella of a California Community College district. That's crucial because the district is a government-approved training provider. In other words, they receive Workforce Investment Act dollars to train people looking for jobs, so those people don't have to pay out of pocket for all those classes. The government is paying to give people the training and credentials they need to get jobs the employers are desperate to fill. They're just entry-level jobs at first, but those credentials and training stick with them. Again, Jason Vogel.
We make sure they understand that if you take these courses, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to become the safety manager at the job site. But what it does is it gives you the training and the background where if you do a good job and you put your, you know, years of experience in, it opens up opportunities for you to have a safety career.
Back at the training, it's that prospect of a career that has the trainees excited. One of them is Ricardo Coros. You remember him from earlier.
I didn't know how to get into the refinery.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the first step.
Ricardo started working as a truck driver after leaving the Army in 2004. It's frustrating, he says. Not much of a career ladder. It was when he was shuttling oil and waste between the refineries and the harbor that it struck him. The refinery workers had what he wanted.
A lot of them worked four on, four off, 12 hours a day. Hard work, but good money. And seemed like something I'd like to do for the rest of my life.
So would you have had a shot, do you think, if not for this program, not for this?
Not really. With no experience? No, I don't think so.
One of his classmates here today, Swanika Brown Johnson, has already gone out and paid for one of those necessary credentials. But she still can't find steady work either. And she tells me she can't afford to pay for any additional training.
It costs. The classes that I have taken already, they've cost me out of my pocket, either traveling to another state to take the classes, or either I went to Dominguez and I actually had to pay $750. So this is a big difference when you can take the classes for free compared to coming out your pocket to pay for it.
Brown Johnson has been underemployed for years. Now she's set to make $14 or $16 an hour, working 12-hour days every day until the turnaround is over in 2 or 3 months. And she's already dreaming of a promotion to a full-time refinery safety manager, a.k.a. a red hat.
A red hat is like the ultimate, like it's like a supervisor of all of the safety personnel. So you go and you do audits and you make sure everybody's following the rules of the refinery. And it's a nice place to be, you know, financially and, you know, just to be up there to walk around with a red hat and to know what you're doing and, you know, you're very respected.
Initially, her work as a safety attendant will only line up with the refinery turnarounds, so she'll have to wait to take classes in the off season. But unlike before, she won't have to pay out of pocket for additional training. And she's more confident there will actually be work on the other side.
Actually, when I was standing in line on Monday to sign up, to check in, I was like, I'm excited. Like, my heart was beating. I was just excited because I haven't did it in a while. And I enjoy myself out there. Like, it's something different.
After we first talked to her, we found out Swanika Brown Johnson got a job with Irwin, a contractor similar to Veolia. And Ricardo Coros, the guy who couldn't find a way into the refinery industry, he got a job with Veolia. If things at the refinery go according to schedule, they'll both start working on Monday. These two people and most of the others in this program have found jobs that could turn into careers. But we're talking about a relatively small number of workers in one narrow slice of a big industry in one region of one state. A Government Accountability Office study in March reported that in 2011, hundreds of thousands of people used federal funds to pay for job training. But even the GAO has no idea how many of those people have landed jobs.